Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Hi, everybody. You're tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. This is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money. Making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, with my co-host, Andrew, my son, Newman.
I can't wait to start hearing you call me your boss.
No, that ain't happening. Maybe it'll happen. So, and then we have
Joe, you hear that?
We have Joe, the producer engineer, in the booth.
Hello.
Joe's dumbfounded by the fact that that may happen.
No, okay.
That may happen.
Okay.
Joe, can I get a copy? I can't wait to archive this. I'm gonna make it my cell phone ring.
That would be the most boring ringtone ever.
That may happen.
Okay. Right. So can we continue with the housekeeping?
I'm just waving at some girls.
Okay. So we are here every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. We stream live, and we'd like to hear from you. So if you have any questions or comments, you can call us at
718-497-2128.
497-2128. That's what Andrew said.
I got some soap on my shirt.
And then, or if you prefer, you can email Joe in the booth, and he's reachable by going to info@heritageradionetwork.com.
Right.
So we would love to talk to you during the show.
What are we talking about today?
All shows are archived on the website, so you can talk to so you can hear us anytime, or you can download a free podcast through iTunes, and listen to Flash Talks Cash everywhere. Today, our subject is the politics of student loans. There's a lot of politicking, campaigning going on now because the student loan interest rates are scheduled to double July 1st.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you a little story. President Bush, back in 07, cut the student loan interest rate down to 3.5%, something like that. I think about it. I don't know why he would do that. He wasn't that kind of a president, but he did, I guess, to make the deficit even larger. But that was a good thing because student loans were, you
the
know.
The more disposable income, the more that's regurgitated.
Okay, so that's the whole point. So it's to keep the economy going.
Can I talk?
I apologize.
Jesus.
I apologize.
Never mind. Just go. You want to hear yourself talk. I totally understand. But, you know, at some point, I do have to talk.
All right. Okay.
Can I have my just, like, point at me when it's my turn. Just point. So they can't know. All right, cut it off.
So now he set it up for a five-year program, and it's scheduled to double back to 6.5% or something on July 1st. And Obama is out there trying to promote to extend this credit interest texting. So even if I was telling him to talk, he's busy
extending
texting.
Credits. Go.
No, you're busy talking.
Do it. Do it. You.
So
you.
Yeah.
Joe, can I get like a bant noise? Bant.
So
bant.
Thank you. Joe.
That ain't working.
The sampler is out of commission.
Joe, don't even listen to him. So now it's scheduled to go into effect July 1st. And so Obama's out there campaigning. And he's talking to college students, and he's telling them, you know, I'm here to protect that interest rate, and you know, you guys have to promote this. You know, you have to stand behind me and so forth. So the wonderful Republicans. Well, say, first of all, Mitt Romney. Let me tell you a little story how what's been going on with this politically. So Mitt Romney. Endorsed the budget that Ryan just proposed from Texas. I think he's from Texas. Mm-hmm. And Mitt Romney's all about this budget, and it's a great budget, and blah blah blah. A week later, Obama starts talking about the increase in the student loan interest, and Mitt Romney backpedals and says, "Oh yeah, I agree with Obama. We should keep the interest rates down." So the Democrats said, but you just endorsed the budget, and the budget called for the interest rates to lapse and go back to 6 and change. And so Mitt Romney, in his usual position, he's regurgitating and peddling and going in all sorts of directions, and he never stands on one position ever. So
okay. So great. We know where Mitt Romney's a moron. He goes back and forth, flip flops.
Right,
got it.
Right.
Increasing student loans is not going to be beneficial. It's literally going to put a little bit of money back into the economy. Tax the revenue is going to be minimal comparative to other ways to cut spending and increase taxes. So back to you, Flash.
Okay. So the Republicans say to Obama, okay, you want to pay for this? How are you going to pay for this cut in interest rates? So Obama says, well, you know, there's a loophole for S corporation people who take salary without having to pay payroll taxes, and it's called a dividend.
Mm-hmm.
And they abuse it. And so we can.
How is that abusing it?
I'm just telling you what Obama said. I tend to agree there are people who abuse it. People who own S corporations have a choice to take their compensation in the form of payroll or to take it in dividends. If you take it in payroll, you pay the payroll taxes. If you take it in dividends, you don't pay payroll tax. Both of them charge you income tax. So there is abuse on the S corporations, and you know, it's hard to audit
offense,
all of those.
No offense, like an S corp is for small businesses.
Correct.
Usually these people need the money to grow their businesses, to, you know, reinvest in themselves, reinvest in society. So I don't really think that's a way to increase the income.
It's a payroll tax avoidance.
I understand, but you know what? Like,
okay,
but all it is avoiding 8% or 16% for Social Security and Medicare. Hey, no offense, I'm never going to see my Social Security and Medicare.
Okay.
Why shouldn't we be able to avoid it?
It's still abused. It's used and abused.
Why don't we close some of these corporate loopholes?
Can we then go on to... So Obama says we'll pay for it by cutting out that loophole where the S corporation people can get away with it. Where, you know, if you own an LLC or a partnership, you can't get away with a dime.
No.
So the S corps do have a little favorable treatment in that. But then the Republicans, you know, according to Ryan's plan, according to Mitt Romney's new plan, because Ryan said, let's just jack the interest rates back up. And according to Romney says, well, I have a good way to do it. You know, let's cut out something out of that health care plan that you guys are trying to pitch and take some money out of that budget line and pay for the interest rates. So it's kind of a, you know, a standoff, the usual standoff in Washington. Boehner comes along and says, you know, this is nonsense. You know what he says? He says that Obama is using taxpayer dollars by flying all over the country campaigning, and the campaigning is not part of the presidential job. Campaigning is part of to be elected again, and the taxpayers are paying for his campaigning, and that's all he has to say during this whole thing about the interest rates.
Okay.
So Boehner polls. I mean, how could the president possibly separate being the president and running for re-election? How could you possibly do it? So what is Boehner talking about?
I don't know. I don't know why I even brought him up.
Well, I'm just telling you how. But he's
I heard
just,
they're readjusting the insurance rates again, health insurance rates again. Did you read about this? They're going to like the Medicare situation where
in Obama's health clip?
No, just in general. They're jacking up insurance premiums again.
To the old people who collect Medicare?
No!
I don't understand what you're talking
about. On like Oxford. Health insurance. Okay. You don't care.
Well, I'm talking about student loan interest.
Well, now you're talking about Boehner and
travel
plans.
I'm talking about what he's talking about. So now I want to talk about the condition of the student loan debt, in this country.
Okay.
It is an epidemic.
Of course.
It's reached $1 trillion. That's how much debt is out there. And, of course, the majority of it is for young people. And, you know, they are being murdered.
Is this across the board, or is this just federally subsidized student loans?
I think it's a total.
Across the board, okay.
But the majority of it, I think something around 80% of the loans since 2010, 80% of the student loans are federally
subsidized
loans, because that's what Obama did 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
He wiped out the banks. Remember, banks used to go to the banks to get the loans, and they were leading the program for the government. Well, they knocked them out, the middleman out, and now the government deals directly with the student loans for the majority of loans, 80% of the loans. So this $1 trillion is out there, and this interest rate increase would affect the average student loan debt about another $1,000 a year in interest, which is pretty awful. Yes, it's pretty awful for these people who have a lot of debt. The average college student in this country graduates with $25,000 in
debt.
That's
it?
Yeah. Well, like it's more okay, but you know, remember, the average college graduate these days doesn't come out making big bucks anymore. They come out to just earn a living wage, you know? So,
but $25,000 seems pretty low.
Well, it's the average. Remember, there's a lot of people that go to local colleges and, you know.
I think too many people going to college.
Well,
we had that conversation.
We had that conversation. But let's talk about the people that are out there. So there are lots of people who have $100,000 in debt or somewhere between, you know, 25 and 100. And it has affected them, particularly that they come out of college and there are no jobs. They're either unemployed or underemployed. So there's no way that they could start tackling the mountain of debt that they do have.
It's like $1,000 a month, some of these people. I have friends who are like $100,000 in debt.
Right.
It's like you have $1,000 payment.
So now it affects their future, their ability to go into a business, their ability to start families, their ability to buy homes. And of all of this is now just stalling the economy some more. And so they, not only does the interest rate is an important part of it, but they have to start dealing with the actual amount of tuition and debt that people are taking on. I have some thoughts about the amount of debt that people take on. There are a lot of people that don't have any money and they just borrow to go to some of the fanciest colleges, which is just insane. To go to a fancy college and come out with $100,000 in debt is just doing yourself in. The vast majority of people go to local community colleges or state universities at a much reduced tuition. And they come out with, you know, just as good an education. There's depends on what you do. It depends on what you do with it when you finish and get your degree. Yes, it's really rough out there. There's no doubt that the jobs are not there for these young people these days. But there's also got to be a point where you say financially this doesn't make any sense. But let me tell you, out there, there's a proposal in Congress right now called the Student Loan Forgiveness Act, and it's trying to gain some momentum. There's the there's a congressman out of Michigan, and he wants to help these kids, those faced with excessive repayment burdens, and he says they may be able to, they want to pass an act where the repayment program can be forgiven after the average after 10 years. If you haven't paid it back and you've been paying every month, and there's a big program out there. I'm not going to go into all the details, but they cap the payment at 10% of your income annually, and if you pay it back over 10 years, then you know the remaining can be forgiven. The maximum they can forgive right now is $45,000. Yes,
that's awful.
Well, this is just a proposal.
So because you can't get a job that pays you sufficiently, or because you studied the wrong thing in college, everyone else has to pay for that?
Well,
that's pretty much what you're throwing at me right now.
Well, if they pay for 10 years.
I don't care.
Okay.
That's not my fault. You paid for 10 years.
Okay.
Didn't make anything of yourself, so I'm supporting you. I'm tired of supporting people who can't support themselves.
Okay.
So, no, honestly, literally, no, seriously, this is not funny.
Okay, but maybe we can take this as a beginning point.
No.
And help these people.
No, pay your own crap off.
Okay. Well,
you know
there
what?
Are
these
some people
that
can't.
Sit out there on unemployment. They sit on there on food stamps, Medicare, all this other crap.
But those people.
And that I'm supporting still because I can get a job.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Why
I'm sorry,
are you liberals caring for these people who can't care
for
themselves?
Because I have seen a lot of people and a lot of people who defaulted on their student loans. And then they get caught up in this mountain of late fees and charges and interest.
Fine.
Excuse me. Let me finish. And then they wind up where they can't get a job because their wages are going to be garnished. And they go underground. And then they become an underground employee. This happens again and again and again because they're having the student loan people chasing them. So that's not a solution to this problem.
So you just forgive it?
No, you didn't listen to me. This is just a proposal.
How
right
you
now.
Defer it
you
until
pay,
they have income?
No. You pay your monthly amount for 10 years.
Okay.
You pay based upon your income. Okay? You pay up to 10% of your discretionary income. Okay? Then after 10 years, you have the ability to forgive the rest. The maximum they can forgive is $45,000. Now, let me just also tell you, you're not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you. There's also a public service loan forgiveness component of this. If you work for in a career in a relatively low-paying public interest job, you don't have to pay for 120 months or 10 years. You can go and get this loan forgiveness after 5 years. Now, there's people out there that go to careers such as social work or, you know, other sorts of...
I got something better for you.
Yeah.
Instead of going to college for these degrees, start an apprenticeship. You want to be a social worker? Go to the New York City, sign up for the program, say, I want to be a social worker. Bang. You sit there for 3 years, 2 years, whatever it is. You don't get paid. You take out a loan or whatever. They pay you a minimum amount of money so you can survive. Boom. After that, you get a degree in social work. You can be a social worker. Apprenticeship is the way to go because now these kids sit in these schools for 4 years when they don't need to go to school for 4 years to learn how to be a social worker, how to be a construction worker, how to be anything.
Okay.
I'm gonna rant more when we get back.
Okay. Let's take a break for a minute so Andrew can gather his thoughts, and he'll come back and finish what he has to say. Maybe he'll rethink that his position.
People say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood, skin and bones, a mind that's a weak and a back that's strong. You lose 16 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning and the sun didn't shine. I pick up my shovel and I walk to the mine. I loaded 16 tons, a number 9 coal. The straw boss said, get out of that hole, you load 16 tons. And what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't.
Okay, Flash Talk's back. Flash Talk's cash is back.
And yeah, you're
talking,
right.
And we're talking about student loan debt and interest rates, and Andrew got hot under the collar, but I think he's cooled off a little bit. No?
No, I still hate hippies.
Okay. Well, let me just tell you something. The Occupy movement has raised this topic up and has said, you know, you guys have got to give me a break. The other side of the coin is, yeah, Andrew says that we should, you know, they should pay their own debt and so forth. The other side of it is, you know, these colleges and their tuition bills.
They're exorbitant.
Exorbitant. And something's got to be done about that, too.
I'm totally with you there.
Yes.
But they should be more focused. They shouldn't offer all these broad classes where kids go for philosophy. No one needs a degree in philosophy.
That's been around
literature.
Since the beginning
you
of time.
You don't need degrees in
these
things.
Oh, true. Come on.
What do you do with a literary degree? You become a professor or you do something else that you're never going to use that with?
Well, I don't know
about
that.
Let's be realistic.
I don't know about that. So
people need to become more realistic in this world.
On May 1st.
These idealists are dumb. They're wasting their money. They freaking turn their wheels to make no money, and then they're a drain on society.
I don't agree with him.
Why?
I do agree that they're not everybody's college material. I do agree
everyone is not college material.
I do agree with that. Okay. I do agree that
everyone
is
you
college degree. And I do agree that apprenticeships and training programs are a good alternative for a lot of people out there.
A lot cheaper. And much more efficient.
Oh, okay. But, you know, college should be available to whoever really wants to go to college. And it's almost become elitist, you know. So
everyone goes to college.
But it becomes elitist that some people, there's a lot of people that don't go because they don't even know how to go about getting the amount of tuition. You know, there are people who just don't go.
Totally
they can't afford it. Okay,
I understand.
So the Occupy movement is planning a lot of May 1st occupations. And one of them is Occupy College.
How about this?
Yes.
These people who have these ideals, of these socialist ideals, I think they're socialist, they're liberal, whatever you want to call it. If they want to offer have a low income, low tuition school.
They do. They have those.
Where? They're called state universities.
State and city colleges.
Exactly.
Or community
How about
colleges?
The people who have these ideas about everyone should go to college, everyone should do their thing. They start up in a little school.
Yeah.
Get accredited.
Yeah.
Or even not. Okay. You put out a good product.
Yeah. And people will come.
Exactly. And just keep your rates low.
Now,
and then don't let those rich people in. Say how, because they have FAFSA. They show how much income you make. Boom. You know how much income someone makes? You can afford this? You're out. You make too much money.
Well, Andrew's got his own ideas.
Let the hippies be by themselves.
Andrew's got his own ideas. I don't necessarily agree. So the tuition program, what is it called? It's called Student Loan Forgiveness Act. Is out there. They're asking you to go on to moveon.org, and you can sign this petition and get some movement. There has to be some changes in the college tuition and the college student loan interest programs because these poor kids can't continue this. So,
well, they need to make better decisions.
Well, okay, but some people really want to go to college, and it doesn't have to
be... Go to a college that fits into your budget. Be realistic.
Well, you don't
yourself.
Know how much you're going to make when you get out.
I don't care. It's not about how much you're going to make when you get out.
Well, you have to be able to repay it.
Well, if you want to be a top-paying person, pick a field where you're going to make a lot of money, apply yourself while you're in school.
I don't think that's the case for everybody.
If you want to adjust yourself, you need to make real-life decisions and say, I need to pay back $100,000.
Well, let me just say that.
I need to make at least $75,000. I need to go into this certain field to make enough money to pay back my loans so then can pursue what I want to pursue. I don't care if... Or transfer out of the school.
Okay, but what
if you want to be like a hippie lawyer that wants to do like all this great stuff? Great. Don't go to the high-priced law school. Go to something local.
Well, what about if you want to study something like fine arts or drama? And you go.
What do you need to go to college for?
Excuse me. You go to study because they do get trained, and they go to the Yale Drama School. And so, out of a million people, 10 people hit it big, and the other 900,000 people don't make it.
You better be rich going in.
Listen, okay. So I don't agree with that. I think that this is
realistic. Need to be realistic in life. Okay. Life is not all freaking butterflies and rainbows.
Okay.
No.
Well, Andrew,
don't tell me to shut up.
I'm tired of this. Andrew and I don't agree.
Honestly,
again.
Joanne, really, but realistically, if you're going to go all the way in for $100,000, I got it. I understand you want to bring up a point. You want to go in for 100 grand, you need to be realistic when you're coming out and say, I need to do something that's going to make me money. Or else you're going to be a drain in society. You're going to be not happy because you're going to
have these student loans. Some people pay it
back. I know. I did. I paid mine back.
Yours wasn't exorbitant.
I was like $45,000.
Well,
I'm done. I paid it off.
Okay.
I applied myself, got out of my debt. Other people are okay living in debt, and then they complain the whole way. Okay. No.
Okay.
It's not fair to everyone else.
Andrew's very adamant and passionate about this point, and we're not going to continue talking about it because I don't want to hear him anymore. So I have another topic that I'd like to talk about. This is an interesting new twist going on. Utah now has alternative currency. Utah is one of the states of the United States, and they now have
Utah's a state.
Alternative currency. They accept gold and silver coins in lieu of U.S. currency.
Okay.
They're making it easy for people to pay with this, gold and silver.
Why?
The governor signed it into law. Why did they do that? I don't know.
Well, you have to back it against the dollar anyway.
Do
people just sit around mining gold and silver that they have, like, sitting in their house?
Let's see why he's Utah's moving towards using gold for more than a year. He made it government-issued gold and silver coins legal tender for transactions and eliminated state capital gains taxes on their exchange.
Okay. So that's why you do it.
Why did he do it?
To avoid the state capital gains tax.
No, but why did he even do the alternative currency in the first place?
Oh, no. That makes no sense.
He said it became the first state in the country to recognize gold and silver as
currency. There's no benefit.
This is what the guy did. Now, 13 other states are considering making gold and silver legal tender. There's got to be some reason why they want to move away or have a second currency in their state. Maybe somebody out there has an idea why. Maybe they could tell us.
Well, the only way it makes no sense because you have to peg it against... It has to have a value.
Yes.
It has to be a dollar value.
Yes.
Unless you're getting some reduced price.
Or maybe people have gold and silver coins that they collected.
It doesn't matter, though. It's still worth a certain value. That's like saying, let's switch to a euro.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It has to have a value. You have to convert it to a dollar.
Well, no, but gold and silver does move differently than the U.S. dollar. So if gold and silver goes up.
What is it going against? It's going against the value of the dollar.
But no,
it goes up in value. Say it's $5 an ounce.
Yes.
It goes up to $6 an ounce.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. Your gold's worth more than a dollar. But then what if it goes down? That's retarded.
You know,
so the swings would be a lot worse if you take it like it's like using two currencies at the same time.
It's using two currencies.
It makes no sense.
But I don't agree with you because if you have gold and it's worth $5 an ounce, mm-hmm. okay, and it's $5 an ounce in U.S. dollars,
okay.
Right? So now you have this gold coin that's worth $5,
okay,
and now gold goes up.
So it's worth $6.
$6, but the dollar didn't go up. Okay. So that if you had a gold coin in your hand and a $5 bill in your hand.
But what if the gold goes down?
Oh, it's true. It could go down. But that's where the alternative currency happens. If you have a $5 bill in your hand and a gold coin, can I finish? And then the gold goes up to $6. All of a sudden, your gold coin buys more than your $5 bill.
Okay.
And obviously, the opposite comes true if gold goes down or silver goes down. But, you know, gold
and silver.
Who's
doing the converting? Who's doing the converting?
The state.
Where? At the store?
I don't know. In a bank? I'm not sure.
Like, what's the point?
At a municipal office? I have no idea. So, but it's a very interesting thing that's happening, and I don't... Well, maybe we'll find out more about this.
It's stupid. It's confusing, and it's stupid. That's like having every state have a different currency.
Well, like the European community
used to
until the euros.
Because it makes no sense. For trade...
But I don't agree with you, because some countries were stronger fiscally than other countries because they had their own.
But the point is, the balance is easier to then trade across countries.
It's easier.
I understand. It may weaken the overall currency.
Yes.
But to strengthen the overall unit, which is what they're trying to do, they conglomerate it so that they have different industries and they can trade within each other and then trade outside of the zone so that they can move their trade quicker and then get it out of their country as well.
Well, there's got to be a good...
No benefit.
When I was actively participating in the Occupy Wall Street movement back in the fall, there was a lot of talk about an alternative currency because they were very, you know, obviously against the financial setup in this country. So they were talking about an alternative currency. You know, I don't think it's an easy thing to pull off.
There's no benefit.
Well, there's got to be a benefit.
You have to be pegged against the dollar.
But there is. I just explained to you the benefit.
If it goes up and down, sure, there's volatility.
That's
there,
right.
But it's only recognized in one place. And why would you want to take it if, say you're selling bread for $5, right? Yeah. All of a sudden, gold goes
but
up.
No, gold and silver could be used anywhere in the world.
No, they can't. You can't go anywhere in the world and say, here's $5 in gold.
No, it's an ounce of gold.
I understand that. But you can't just walk into a store and say, I got an ounce of gold.
Well, they do that now in Utah.
Well, that's because it's stupid.
Well, here we go.
It's a bunch of Mormons.
Andrew has his own thought about that. I have
no
another
benefit. Because you're only getting the dollar's worth.
Can I now go on to my next topic? This is the topic for you, Andrew. I'm asking you a question.
Can I throw another? What if I just trade you an asset? Like saying, I have this stock that's worth $43 today.
Yes.
I'm going to give you the stock for this groceries here.
Yes.
What's the difference? Why can't I do that?
Of course you can.
So it's the same as gold.
Well, it is. It's.
So then you have to have charts. Or you have to some sort of streaming thing that you know exactly how much gold is worth that day.
That's
and it
absolutely
does
right.
And when it fluctuates during the day, what do? You change the
kill
price?
Kill yourself? I don't know.
Exactly. Like what? You have to peg it at some point.
All right.
What if it drops
Drew,
off the face of the earth?
I get you. I don't necessarily understand why they went to an alternative currency. And there are other states interested. Maybe there's a federal thing hanging over each state regarding the Federal Reserve Bank or something. I'm not sure. This is worth investigating some more. But I came across and I said this would be very interesting to bring up because I never heard of such a thing. And all my day in America, I never heard of an alternative currency.
It also undermines
currency.
The financial systems of this country.
Well,
that's the other problem I have with it.
Yes. Okay.
Like, we need to strengthen the economy, not weaken it by saying the dollar's not even worth the value in our own country.
Well, do you Let's think that the states are out there really trying to pull something off here?
It's weakening the overall economy. It literally is. Because if I don't trade in gold and I go over there and they're saying, like, it's like saying gold's worth more there, so they can just trade in gold instead of dollars or silver.
Mm-hmm.
It's a higher value. Like, I don't want your dollars. I'm dealing with gold and silver
mm-hmm.
now. And it's also limited supply, so it's really not that bright.
So Andrew doesn't really like this concept. I have one more question for you, Andrew. You know, the credit cards that give rewards and you pay a fee and you get rewards. Now, you're a big fan of cashback.
No.
Oh, I thought you
did. I use travel.
Oh, because I thought you used to get cash back.
I have a cash back card, too, yes. But I don't use it anymore. Wow, what's up?
So, no, you know, I use mine are miles, and, you know, I just wanted to talk to people out there who often ask, they're not familiar with how these programs work. And so the thing is, should you get a credit card that gives you travel reward? Should you get one that gives you cash back? Should you get a card that doesn't give you anything? Because, believe me, nothing is free. So
I think
you pay
it all matters
fee.
On the amount you're spending.
I think it depends on the style of your lifestyle,
yeah, exactly.
too.
Like, you need to spend a lot of money to get a lot of money back. Like, the cash back, it's once you spend like $10,000, you get like $100 or something.
Yes.
Usually. It's like a 1% return.
Yes.
Maybe you got 3% on certain items.
Yes,
but like
on gas,
the most part,
and yeah. restaurants.
Or if you
yes.
go like the diner or the grocery store, you get 3% back
yes,
or whatever.
Yes,
travel, it's the same thing.
Travel
is
the same
so
thing.
It's so high to get yes. an actual ticket.
Well, that's the part that I, you know, when I was running my business, I was running, and I know customers, clients of mine, that used to buy their inventory on their credit card and they would rack up a lot of points because they would have, you know, $20,000 Amex bills every month, and at the end of the year they would take a very nice comfortable
trip. As long as you can pay it off. That's
correct.
The only thing that matters.
Well, in business, you know, if you're running up $20,000 of inventory, that means your business can support
of
that.
Of course.
Yes.
But, you know, some people just use their credit card for the points and the miles and all yeah. that stuff, and then they're paying interest on it.
Yes. That doesn't make any
and
sense.
And the fees don't matter as long as you're, it depends on your spending.
Yes.
If you're spending enough a year that you actually reaping
well, that's
rewards,
what I wanted to talk to people about. If you're not spending that much a year on your credit card, you know, the average person doesn't spend $20,000 a month, so at the end of the year they don't have a quarter of a million miles. So so if you average $1,000 a month, at the end of the year you'll have 12,000 points. Well, that's not going to get you an airline ticket to anywhere. So the point is, it might take you 5 years
exactly.
to get enough points to do a free ticket, and in the meantime you might have paid $100 a year for the card and so you paid $500 and then you might as well have bought your ticket.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to bring that up. The cash back is a good thing. As Andrew said, you have to spend a bit to really see it, but you know, if you're not paying a fee for it and you're getting cash back, and they run specials, like you said, 3% back on groceries this month, or you know, they'll give you 2% on gasoline. So those are things that you should look at, and maybe you should get a program that doesn't give you anything back and doesn't charge you a fee or has a less fee. And of course, the most important thing is, if you carry a balance, you better look at the interest rates.
Oh, and make sure, and it helps credit score too. If you keep a, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Credit score is going to be more important in the long run than any vacation or $100 you get back or whatever it is. So, you know, it's good for you to have a credit card, but, you know, just make sure you manage it very well.
Right.
Carefully.
Okay. So that's it. So we heard Andrew rant and rave quite a bit today. We'll be back next week and we'll see what's up his sleeve then. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.